This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين. Always we begin with the praise, the thanks of Allah. نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. We testify that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah سبحانه وتعالى. And we send our love, greetings and salutations to our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to his pious and his pure family, to his companions and all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time. May Allah bless us to be amongst them. Ameen, ameen, walhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, as I mentioned last week, I basically hinted that, you know, last week was the 10th of Muharram Ashura, and it's an event that is... It should be a joyous an occasion in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives the sins of last year. But of course it has become mired in controversy, where the Sunni Shia divide is always highlighted. And last week there were certain comments made about the Sahaba that, I don't know if you've heard, if you haven't heard, alhamdulillah, you're saved. If you have heard, you would have obviously, naturally, to insult the Sahaba and to question their credibility is a direct assault on Islam. And so there were a number of condemnations and apologies, and alhamdulillah, we move on. There's no need to harp on that point. But a central question around the Sunni-Shia divide, and we did a series on Shiism 6-7 years ago, it's online, you can follow it, and I didn't want to get into it, there's no reason for us to go down that road again, is around the caliphate, and more particularly the caliphate of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Because the kernel of the, I would say, one of the founding differences between Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah and the Shia, and in the reality there are two sects, is the leadership of the Muslim Ummah after the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Was there someone appointed? Wasn't there someone appointed? How did Abu Bakr get the job? Why did Abu Bakr get the job? Was he rightfully chosen as a leader? Is he the true selected leader? Was it usurped? And this is what was claimed last week, that it was usurped, stolen by a plot. And we obviously take exception to that. So let's talk, inshallah, today about the events, how Abu Bakr became the Khalifa. Was there a vote? And people wrote down their ballots and they gave it in, or did we raise our hands? How was Abu Bakr selected as Khalifa? Now, context, we know that the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away to the Sahaba suddenly. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was away, and the Anbiya only die by the permission of Allah and the Anbiya. The angel of death is not allowed to pull the ruh of a Nabi without their permission. So the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and you can look, if you look at the hadith that he mentioned after he came back from Hajj, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came back from Hajj, like we had Hajj, Dhul Hijjah, and then Rabi al-Awwal is going to be in 3 months after Hajj. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away in Rabi al-Awwal, basically 3 months after Hajj. And he is giving advice to the Sahaba. They think it's general. He says to them, Allah has given a slave the opportunity to stay on the earth or to choose the Akhirah. And the slave has made in the choice of the Akhirah. Sahaba saying, Allahu Akbar Takbir. What a wise man. Only Abu Bakr is crying. Because he understands the slave that is implied here is the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as we know, passes away as a shock to the Sahaba. He was sick for a number of weeks. And he wasn't coming out to lead the Salah. And so the Sahaba were in the Masjid, very nervous, what's going to happen? And then on the day that he passed away, it was a Monday morning after Fajr, the Nabi Sallam actually had a revival in his energy. He felt strong. And the Sahaba had performed, they were already in the Fajr Salah, and the Nabi Sallam got up, because he couldn't stand, he was so weak in the days before that, he got up and he opened the curtain and he stood looking at the Sahaba making Salah. And the Sahaba was so, you know, they were so happy and joyous to see his face and see that he's standing and see that he's healthy, that look, they should be focusing on the Qibla, but they focused on him. And it was like the Masjid, they made noise to say to Abu Bakr, the Nabi Sallam is here, he's going to lead the Salah. Because they had already began the Salah behind Sayyidina Abu Bakr, he was the Imam. And the Nabi Sallam motioned to them like, no, you guys continue, I just want to watch you, I want to see you like this, standing together, one jama'ah performing Fajr, the Masjid is full, behind one Imam. But the Imam is Abu Bakr. Doesn't matter which side you are, everyone agrees that Imam was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And the Nabi Sallam, the last thing that the Sahaba saw of him was that beautiful smile. He smiled at them. And then he went into his room, and within a few hours the Prophet Sallam had returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the Prophet passed away, though at a time, Medina was in chaos. People didn't know, they couldn't believe this was a reality. Like Sayyidina Umar, he said, this is just like Nabi Isa, he's gone to Allah, he's going to come back. Muhammad says, we can't die like this. A life without the Nabi ﷺ was something they could not fathom. And so the whole of Medina was, you know, in mourning, there was confusion, there was chaos ensuing. But yet by the end of the day, it was a Monday, by the end of the day, they had already selected a caliph, a khalifa, a leader. Abu Bakr was selected as a khalifa. So how did this happen? How in a few hours was Sayyidina Abu Bakr appointed as the khalifa? Was there a consultation, as I said? Did everyone come and give their views? Did they have an election? Was there a plot, a scheme, a coup, someone usurped it? There's a very interesting hadith in Sahih Bukhari that explains the events, what we call the events of Saqifah. The place in which Abu Bakr was appointed is called Saqifah. Saqifah is a garden in Medina. So we are in Medina. The Prophet has passed away. His masjid, the Nabi Sallam is in his house, waiting to be buried now. There's a garden around the corner from the masjid of Nabi Sallam, Masjid Nabwi. This garden is called the Garden of Saqifah. And that is where the election is going to take place. So in this, it's a long hadith. It mentions the Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. Ibn Abbas narrates this hadith. Ibn Abbas was a junior boy, but now many years later in the time of this, he is narrating more than 15 years after the death of the Nabi Sallam. Now he's a big man. So Ibn Abbas was a boy when the Prophet passed away. 15 years later, he's a big man, he's an alim. So he says, I used to teach the Quran to some people of the Muhajirin. I had reached a certain level where I was teaching senior Sahaba about the Quran. That's possible. You can have a teacher who's much younger than you. Among them, there was Abdurrahman ibn Auf. And so he says, amongst my students who I used to recite Quran with, was Abdurrahman ibn Auf, the great Sahabi. Abdurrahman, one of the 10 promised Jannah. So Ibn Abbas says, while I was in his house in Mina, so it was on Hajj, I was with Abdurrahman ibn Auf on Mina, and he was with Umayr ibn al-Khattab, when he was with Umar ibn al-Khattab, he was with Sayyidina Umar, so Abdurrahman and Umar, so understand this. Sayyidina Umar is now the Khalifa, right? This is many years, this is after Abu Bakr. Sayyidina Umar is the Khalifa, it's on Hajj, and Ibn Abbas is sitting with him. And Abdurrahman comes to Sayyidina Umar and he said, would that you... So Abdurrahman ibn Auf comes to Sayyidina Umar and he says to the Khalifa, would that you had seen the man who came today to the chief of the believers, Umar, saying, O chief of believers, what do you think about so and so who says, if Umar should die, I will give the pledge of allegiance to such and such person. Okay, what's happening here? Sayyidina Umar is on Hajj. And someone came to Sayyidina Umar. Now people from all over the world have come for Hajj, like normal. And a man from, we don't know his name, and that's the beauty of the Sahaba. They never mention the name of the naughty one. This naughty man comes and he says to Sayyidina Umar, when you die, we will just give the oath of allegiance to my friend and he will be the Khalifa. I will choose who I want as the Khalifa and he'll be the Khalifa. Because that is how you guys did it with Sayyidina Abu Bakr. That's how you did it with Sayyidina Abu Bakr. The pledge of allegiance, because he says, I will give the pledge of allegiance after you die, O Umar, to which such and such person, as by Allah, the pledge of allegiance to Abu Bakr was nothing but a prompt and sudden action which got established afterwards. It was a small meeting, and in that meeting he was selected, and then khalas, he became the Khalifa. So we're going to do the same. We're going to do the same with our friends. Umar became very angry when he heard this, obviously. And then he said, I will, and then he gave, basically, he says, I'm going to give a speech in front of all the Hujjaj to explain this issue. It was so serious that on Hajj he's going to give a khutbah. And so Sayyidina Umar sat on the pulpit, on the mimbar, and after the salah was called, and this was on Hajj, and all the people were there, and he says, O people, I have been informed that someone amongst you says, when Umar should die, I will give the pledge of allegiance, I will appoint such and such a person to be basically the Khalifa. And one should not, so then he says, and one should not be deceived by saying that the pledge of allegiance given to Abu Bakr was given suddenly and it was successful, so we can do the same thing. Just like we did with Abu Bakr, we're going to do the same thing. And then he says, and look at what Umar is saying, he's honest, he says, but no doubt it was like that. That is how Abu Bakr was selected. It wasn't planned, it wasn't something we thought out, it just happened on the spur of the moment for Abu Bakr's selection. But then he says, but Allah saved us, the people, from the fitna of such a thing. And there is none amongst you who has the qualities of Abu Bakr. That kind of thing, where a group of people selects a khalifa, sort of A private meeting, that should not happen. That is not the norm. That is not what must happen. But Allah did that because it saved us from a time when we were out to be scattered and fragmented. And also, who are you? Who of you have the same qualities like Abu Bakr? Look at who we chose. We chose Abu Bakr. And then he says, Sayyidina Umar says, remember that whoever gives the Pledge of Allegiance to anybody among you without consulting the Muslims. So our default is a type of, we won't say democracy, we'll never say our default, but it is a consultative process. So Sayyidina Umar says, if anyone is appointed the Khalifa without consultation, neither the one giving the allegiance or the one being appointed is going to be accepted. We don't support such a thing. This must be a collaborative kind of process. So now he explains, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar explains how did Abu Bakr become the Khalifa. He says, and no doubt after the death of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had passed away. He's in the house. Sayyidina Umar and Abu Bakr are in the masjid. They are mourning. Some context here. What city are they in? They're in Medina. Where's Abu Bakr and Umar from? From Makkah, right? The Nabi is from Makkah. We know the Hijrah happened. So a few Muslims from Makkah came to a big city of Medina. The majority of the people of Medina were from Medina. The minority were from Makkah. You can almost imagine, like in our community here, we've got the Cape Townians and we have our brothers from Somalia and Bangladesh. We have a small immigrant group. Now, of course, the people of Makkah were in charge because the Nabi was in charge. So, when the Nabi passed away, naturally, the Buddhas of Medina considered, well, we should get to rule our own city. Now that the Nabi passed away, the city should go back to us because it's our city. They thought maybe Abu Bakr and Umar and all are going back to Mecca. That's where they are. They're not from Medina. So, they called a meeting. So, that Sayyidina Umar says that when the Prophet passed away, we were informed that the Ansar disagreed with us and they gathered in Saqifah. The senior Buddhas of the Medina, the people of Medina, the Ansar, they gathered in a garden to discuss this matter. And so, when Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anh, and Abu Ubaidah, there were three Sahaba, three senior Sahaba of the Muhajirin, when they heard this meeting is happening, they said, let us go to our brothers and discuss this matter. Before they choose a leader, and at that point, they didn't consult all of us. So we went to them. So Umar said, so we went out to see them. And on the way, we met another two Ansari people who said, yes, that meeting is happening, but I think the matter is almost decided. They've already almost appointed a Khalifa. Don't go there. It's going to cause a whole fitna. Abu Bakr said, no, let's go there and we discuss it. And so, Sayyidina Umar said, we came to, and so we, the old group of Muhajireen, we are, where are you going? And so they said, we're going to the Ansar. So, when the Sayyidina Umar and Abu Bakr, when they got there to the gathering, so they come now to Saqifa. The people of Medina are sitting in a circle and they are discussing the issue, who must be the ruler of Medina. They are about to make a selection. In the gathering, they see one person wrapped up completely, head to toe, like a mummy. He's wrapped up. And they ask, who's that? They said, this is Sa'd ibn Ubadah, and he's sick. He's covered up like that because he's sick. So he's covered up because he's got a fever or something. And this Sa'd, he's wrapped up, he's about to be appointed as not the Khalifa, as the head of Medina. That's the one who is sick. He is the most senior amongst them. He's about to be selected. And so, so they allowed Abu Bakr and Umar to come in. And after we sat for a while, the Ansar, the people of Medina spoke. And they said, none has the right to be worshipped. La ilaha illallah. And they started to praise Allah. And let's always begin with hamd and praise of Allah. Then they said, to proceed, now they say to Abu Bakr and Umar, we are the Ansar, we are the people of Medina. And the majority of the Muslim army is us. We are the majority of the people. While you guys are the immigrants and you are the minority. You guys are small. And some people among you came, so you came here now to discuss the issue of leadership, but we should be the ones that are in charge and the caliphate and depriving it of us. So this is a robust discussion. The Ansar are not, mashallah, buta, if you want it, then Allah takbir. No, they said, no, we should be the leaders. You guys are the minority, we the majority. And while he's speaking, Sayyidina Umar said, I wanted to interrupt. Every time he said something, I wanted to interrupt. But Abu Bakr grabbed Sayyidina Umar's hand and said, sit down. Umar, don't say anything. Keep quiet. Let him finish. So the Ansar are talking how they should be the leadership. We took you guys in. We looked after you. And they mentioned all their qualities. You guys are actually from Makkah. And we're brothers in Islam. But we should be the leaders. And we are the majority of the army. We are also in charge of the army. And so, Sayyidina Umar says, side note, I always, whenever Abu Bakr told me to do something, I listened. I didn't like to upset him. In the past, whenever they had a quarrel, the Nabi Sallam always took Abu Bakr aside, so he learned. I just obey what Abu Bakr says. So, Abu Bakr then waited for the man to be finished. And then Abu Bakr got up and he gave a speech. So he told Umar, leave it to me, I'm going to give a speech. And Sayyidina Umar said, wallahi, the speech he gave was 10 times better basically than the speech I was going to give. Everything I wanted to mention, he mentioned only better. And he began by praising the Ansar and praising their qualities and said, how you guys adopted us and all of this. And there is no quality except that it belongs to Ansar. And yes, you are the majority and the people of Medina. So the city is your city. But he mentioned, and basically the gist of Abu Bakr's speech was, remember that what we cannot have a situation where Medina has its Khalifa and Makkah has its Khalifa and Yemen has its Khalifa, then we will be divided as an Ummah forever. We need to choose a leader for the Muslims. We need to choose a leader for the Muslims. Now, this point in time now is going to determine the future of this Ummah. What we decide now here. And so, then Abu Bakr says, so choose, and he mentions, and then Abu Bakr also mentions, remember the Nabi was from Makkah, and the Prophet ﷺ had given that the Muhajireen are of an elite group. Now this isn't the Nabi saying so. Allah says so in the Quran, that the Muhajireen are slightly above the Ansar. This is in the Quran, that the people of Makkah, Abu Bakr and Umar and Bilal and Sayyidina Ali, they are of a seniority. Why? Because they have 13 years of experience of torture and persecution. They became Muslim first. So they get the seniority. So Abu Bakr reminded them that as much, O Ansar, as lofty as your qualities are, the Muhajireen have a degree above you. And Allah had chosen us. And the Prophet ﷺ is from amongst us. And so when this now became a bit of a back and forth, so Sayyidina Abu Bakr said, so choose between these two men from Makkah. Sayyidina Umar was on the one side, and Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah, another great Sahaba on the Ten Promised Jannah, he said, choose between Umar or Abu Ubaidah, and let them be our Khalifa. So Abu Bakr picks up both their hands and says, you choose one of them, they of the Muhajireen, we all know their qualities, they are good men, let them be the Khalifa, and khalas, we have one Khalifa. And Abu Umar pulls his hand away, and he says, I will never ever be a Khalifa over a people where Abu Bakr is one of its citizens. For Allah, for the Prophet ﷺ chose you to lead the Salah when he was sick. Sayyidina Umar says, when the Nabi ﷺ was unable to lead the Salah, you were the man he chose. And so Sayyidina Umar takes Abu Bakr's hand and says, I pledge that you are my Khalifa. And when they did that, now remember at the beginning of the story, the man said, I'm just going to pledge to my friend like you did. The same way you did, I'm going to do for my friend. So Umar says, don't get confused, it was very different. So then he says, Abu Bakr, I pledge you to be the Khalifa. And then, of course, everyone in that gathering, basically everyone besides Sa'ad radiallahu anhu, the one who was covered up in a sheet, pledged to Abu Bakr. And at that meeting, he was anointed as the Khalifa. Not long after that, Sayyidina Abu Bakr goes. So this is the leadership of Medina, appointing Abu Bakr as the Khalifa. And then he goes to the masjid and he gives this amazing speech about how that that I'm not the best of you, I'm the first, and I'm just here to serve the Ummah. And nobody stands up to rebel or to question or to criticize, because everyone knew the seniority and the leadership of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. This is how Abu Bakr became the Khalifa. It was chaotic. It was unplanned. It was not from the decision of Sayyidina Abu Bakr to have an election, but an election kind of happened without their willingness, without their go-ahead. But of course, at the times of fitna, which could have caused a catastrophe for the Muslims. If you think about what is the repercussions to the Ummah. Today we're talking about something that happened 1,400 years ago, where they chose a Khalifa. Imagine there was two that were appointed. Or there were three or four. Or one group fought the other group. What kind of fitna would we have today? What kind of fitna would we have today? So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is appointed a Khalifa in a very chaotic manner. But what solidifies his position as the Khalifa was the fact that everyone in Medina came forth and gave the pledge of allegiance to him publicly. Everyone after that gave the pledge of allegiance publicly. Yes, there were concerns that the process was not consultative. Even Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was the only man to pledge Abu Bakr twice in public. The only person who gave his pledge publicly twice to show the people, this is my Khalifa. But he did raise his concerns to say, you guys had a meeting, and you chose a Khalifa, why wasn't I there? Or why wasn't any of the family of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam there? And so Abu Bakr explained to Sayyidina Ali, we didn't call the meeting, the Ansar called the meeting. And had we had the choice, had it been up to us, it would have been collaborative, the entire Ummah would have been discussed. But situations had happened like that. And we say our view, and this is the view, the difference between Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah and the other group, is we say that this aligns, the appointment of Abu Bakr aligns with the guidance from Allah and the Rasul ﷺ. Because Allah says in the Quran about Sayyidina Abu Bakr, إِلَّا تَنْصُرُهُ فَقَدْ نَصْرَهُ اللَّهُ. If you do not support the Nabi Sallam, then Allah has supported him. إِذْ أَخْرَجَهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا ثَانِ اثْنَيْنِ إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ إِذْ يَكُولِ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْسَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. Allah says in the Quran about Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, that if you do not follow the Nabi Sallam and support him, then remember Allah always supports the Nabi Sallam, and he will always send people who are supporters of the Prophet Sallam. Like when he was expelled from Makkah, he was alone, except with him in the cave was his Sahabi. He's Sahabi. The only man that Allah calls as Sahabi is Abu Bakr. This is the only time Allah says, he said to his companion, do not be scared. Allah is with the two of us. Allah is with you and me. Okay? Allah also mentions in the Quran, As-sabiqoon al-awwaloon, that the best of all the Muslimin are those who embraced Islam early. Abu Bakr, first day. Khadija, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Ali, Sayyidina Zayd, the four of them, the very first people to become Muslim. Abu Bakr is of the first four. والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين, and in the مهاجرين والأنصار, and then after the أنصار والذين تبعون بإحسان, and the people that comes after them, that follows them, that follows the example of the مهاجرين and the أنصار رضي الله عنهم ورضون. Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah. Now subhanAllah, what more of a job qualification do you want? When the Lord of the universe says, I am pleased with these people. I am pleased with this man. My rida is on him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of course also mentioned in other parts of the Quran, like in the Bayatul Ridwan, that Allah knew what was in their hearts, and that He has promised them that they are going to Jannah. When you look at the highest category of people, are the Anbiya, the Prophets. No one better than the Anbiya, the Prophets. After them, who's the next best? The ulama, the MJC members, the shuhada, the people who give charity. Who are the best? Allah says in the Quran, وَمَن يُتَعِ اللَّهُ, whoever obeys Allah wa Rasul, فَأُولَئِكَ, then you will be مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ. You will be of the very, very fortunate group that Allah has favored. من النبيين, the anbiya, والصديقين, and the siddiqs, والشهداء, and the martyrs, والصالحون, and والصالحين, the good people, وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا, and these are the best people that you can be with. So Allah had given a list of categories that is the best. The anbiya are the best. The next best is who? The siddiqs, siddiqin. The highest level of iman you can reach is the level of sidq. You can't reach the level of nubuwah, but you can reach the level of siddiq. Like Allah says in the Quran, that Nabi Isa is a Nabi, but his mother Maryam is a Siddiqah. Maryam, the highest level a lady can reach is the iman of Maryam alayhi salam. She's a Siddiqah. What is Abu Bakr's nickname that Allah, that the Prophet had given him? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Of all the Siddiqs, of all the Sudaqah, of all of that gathering, he is as-Siddiq, the best of them. Meaning, subhanAllah, the best man, the best human being after the Anbiya is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. This is in the Quran. We didn't give that nickname. This is from Allah and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. From the hadith, so this is from the ayat from the Quran. From the hadith, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as we mentioned, before he passed away, he gave a number of speeches. And we have these speeches recorded. And he says, the person who Allah has favored me the most, the biggest blessing I got after Allah, in terms of his companionship and his wealth, is Abu Bakr. This is a day before he passes away, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, no one helped me more than Abu Bakr has done. And if I were to take a Khalil, a close companion, a confidant, I would have taken Abu Bakr as my Khalil. But Allah has taken me as his Khalil. And he then says that all the doors of the masjid should be, now what happens, everyone had a side door to the masjid. So everyone built their houses next to the masjid and you had a side door to enter. He said, from today on, all those doors are closed except the door of Abu Bakr. Except the door of Abu Bakr. And of course we know that the Prophet ﷺ appointed Abu Bakr at that very critical time to lead the salah when he was ill. One day Abu Bakr was a bit late. And so Sayyidina Umar began performing the salah. And when the Prophet heard, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard, he said, Umar, tell him to stop. Only Abu Bakr may lead the salah. He stopped Sayyidina Umar midway in the salah and said, call Abu Bakr, for only Abu Bakr may lead the Muslims in salah when I'm not there. SubhanAllah. So what more of an indication do we need to show the preference of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to be the Khalifa? But if we were to put all those things aside, his qualities before the Hijrah, while the life of the Nabi Sallam, how much the Prophet loved him, we ask, okay, for those who are not happy with his appointment as the Khalifa, you say, no, it was not done properly. What did he do as the Khalifa? Now that he was given the job, what did he do in that 2.5 years? What were the years of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu like? In that 2 years, the Muslim Ummah almost fell apart. All around you had false prophets, and perhaps next week we'll talk about the age of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. You had wholesale rebellion. Now that the man, Muhammad SAW, has passed away, this was an opportunity for all the enemies to rise up. They didn't have the courage when the Prophet was alive to challenge him. When he passed away, he thought, this is the opportunity. You had false Nabis appearing. When Abu Bakr becomes the Khalifa, a few days later, Medina was on the verge of being invaded. Every way the Muslim empire started to fall apart. When he passed away, they had reached Palestine and Damascus. In 2.5 years, he had consolidated everything after what the Prophet had left behind. And the most important legacy he left behind, perhaps, was the compilation of the Quran. The Quran was not written in a book. It was in the minds of the Huffaz. And during those years, so many Huffaz died, and so it was agreed that the Quran should be put in a mushaf, a book form. This happened in the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And so, if one may ask, what is the issue that you have with Abu Bakr? I don't like him so much. I say he's a usurper, whatever. So what? What's the big deal? The big deal is, if you reject the khilafah of Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman radiallahu anhu, then you reject the legacy they left behind. And they left behind the preservation of the Quran and the Sunnah. How is it possible that a group of people or a person that is a non-Muslim, because to steal the khilafah is an act of kufr, to have done that, what does that mean about the preservation of the Quran? You attack the Quran, and you attack the ayat of the Quran which Allah mentioned their qualities. When Allah says radiallahu anhu wa radu an, you say no, these people are in Jahannam. And you attack the person of Nabi Sallam when he appointed Abu Bakr as the Khalifa, the same day as the Khalifa, as the Imam, the same day he passed away. What kind of judgment, error, would you have of your Nabi? To surround himself with the likes of Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman, who are deceivers or usurpers, wa'yadu billah. So it's not just an issue of, well, I have my version of history and you have your version of history. This is the history of Islam. And this is what our deen is built on. So inshallah, perhaps next week we can talk about the days of the age of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. In that time, that critical moment, when the ummah was about to collapse, and many scholars mention that there were times when the ummah was in extremely dangerous, dangerous point. Like when the Nabi made hijrah, that was perhaps the closest the Quraysh got to killing the Nabi sallam, and the Battle of Badr. One of those moments in history where the ummah was hanging on by a thread is the 2 years of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's caliphate. After he passes away, Sayyidina Umar comes, the ummah is strong. We are the leading civilization on earth. What happened in that brief period? We'll talk about the caliphate of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu in the weeks to come, bi-ibnillah. Just a few quick announcements. That alhamdulillah, our meet and treat for our next session will be the 27th, I think next week, Saturday. I think there's still positions open. If anyone would like to find a husband or wife, you can sign up. And then, alhamdulillah, we, as I said last time, we had a wonderful Muharram march. We ask Allah subhanahu to reward all those who contributed. If you still wish to contribute as well, our soup kitchen continues weekly. And may Allah accept from all of us. Ameen. Jazakallah khair. Wa sallallahu sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi sahbihi sallam wa sallim. Alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh.